Good evening, everyone. We thank the Lord for allowing us to gather together once again, to be in the house of God, to sing the songs of Zion, to worship together in the spirit and in truth. And once again, we ask that you would pray for us, that we'll be able to deliver the burden that the Lord has given unto us. The title of this message is, What Do You Have Need Of? And there's a question mark. I'd like to first turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew 6, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. And it says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. That eighth verse is the burden the Lord put on our heart. Be ye not like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, there are many times that we come to the Lord and we are asking him things, and I wonder sometimes if we consider, are we asking the right things? Or did God have something else in mind that he wished that we would ask him? You see, we serve a great big God, one who is able to do exceedingly above what all we could ask or think. He took this world. He put everything in place. He put all of these details in this world for one reason. And that was so you and I could understand what he was capable of doing in our lives. First of all, we need to know what a need is. The Bible definition of a need says this: something that is of necessity, differing from a want. A need is something important for personal life existence or for one's work. Something one cannot go without. So I ask you tonight, what do you have need of? As we consider this message tonight, there may be things in our life that we think we need from the Lord, and we haven't gotten an answer yet. We've prayed over this maybe many, many times, and it just seems like we're hitting our head against the wall. Are we asking for the right thing? Let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. It says, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Is our prayer according to the will of God? Lord, I need this. I need this too. You know, sometimes I'm going to use this as an example. We pray for patience. Lord, I need patience. Does the Lord come along and just pour us up a pitcher of patience and hand it to us? Or does he allow some things to come that really tries our patience? Lord, I ask you for patience. What am I getting this for? Well, this is how patience comes. And many times in our lives, the things that the Lord desires to give us, we're asking, but we're not looking for the right thing. The Lord is looking down at each of our hearts, and he knows everywhere in our heart that we need help. And we might go through this life, you know what, I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more like Christ. Maybe I've got some examples that I've seen growing up through life. I remember as a young man there in Ohio, there were a lot of seasoned saints around, and you could see their life and you could tell they could get in touch with God. They had an experience with God, and that was something that I desired in my life. But you know what I had to do? I had to go through the trials. I had to go through the tests. I had to follow the route that the Lord led me through to get to the places that I desire to be. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 19th verse. Philippians 4 and 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." By who? By Christ Jesus. Now we have a good example in the Bible of watching Jesus work in this earth. We saw the various ways that he helped people along the way. There were many vast numbers of needs that existed at that time. There were people that needed healing. There were people that were going through their life with no hope of having a normal, healthy body. But in one place it said he went and it said he healed them all. And there was another place he went, it said he could hardly do anything, right, except for heal a few sick folk. Yeah. God's got all kind of blessings for you and I. Yeah. He has, when we pray down a revival, you know what the Lord does when he visits? He brings them all the blessings. And he lays them up here. You know what he's been listening to? Our prayers in secret. But the scripture said he'll reward you openly. So you and I are going to have to acknowledge, you know what? I've got some needs. The Lord needs to help me in this place. He needs to help me in that place. I've been praying to him in private. Now I'm here and open in the revival. The Lord is here. And now it's time to get the needs taken care of. Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16 says this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It said, come boldly. There is an observation that I've had in various meetings that I went to. And the people are at the meeting for a reason. They want something from the Lord. Yet, on some occasions, the messages would go forth, and it seemed like it was hard for people to come boldly to the throne of grace. There is something that we need to understand about an altar. An altar is a place of transaction between us and God. Amen. If you know about the Old Testament, when they came to the temples and they brought their sacrifices, those things were offered on the altar. There was an exchange there. They gave whatever animal for this sacrifice, for whatever it was. The altar is a place for us to exchange with the Lord. And many times we come to meeting and we're looking for the Lord to bless us, and we hear a message that maybe cuts right across the thing that we've been praying for. And we say, well, I'll wait till I get home and I'll get it back in my closet. But what did the scripture say? It said, pray in your closet and the Lord will reward me openly. When he's here, that's the time to get the blessing. I mentioned briefly about Cornelius in the previous message, and we're going to look at those scriptures here a little bit. Acts, the 10th chapter. I want us to notice something about Cornelius. Cornelius wants something from God. And he asks. Now, sometimes I wonder if we truly understand what it means to ask. Lord, I need more power in my life. And then we go on and maybe our next prayer, Lord, I need more power in my life. But I want you to notice something about Cornelius. Acts 10, starting at the first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked up on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for one called Simon, whose surname was Peter. Did this brother have needs? Evidently, he had been praying constantly to the Lord, seeking him until he got what he needed. He was in importuning to God so much that the Lord felt it necessary to send an angel down from heaven to tell him, Your prayers have been heard. There's a man that's going to come that's going to give you what you need. Do you realize that the blessing was not only for Cornelius, but it was for his whole family? You and I, we have to take serious our needs before the Lord. What do we have need of? What has the Lord revealed unto us that we have need of? You know, sometimes we may consider our spiritual position sometimes and think we're doing pretty good. And the Lord will come along and he'll say, I want this to be a little bit better. I want you to come a little closer to me. The Lord has things that he wants to do in each one of our lives. And many times, because we don't put in for it with a sincerity, with an urgency, we don't get what we need. And we find ourselves trying to live this Christian walk and battling sometimes in our own flesh or in our own wisdom and our own understanding, and we never can attain to what God has in mind. How bad do you want it? You ever been on the job and realize there's something that you're doing that you haven't done before? And it's not like you can pause and go look it up. And say, well, let me go look and see how I'm supposed to take care of this. And you know what you do? Well, this is what I do. Lord, I've never done this before. Would you show me how to do it? And right on the spot, right on the job, the Lord will come and say, do this, do this, do this, and do this. And the job gets completed. And I never went and looked it up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you know why our ministers don't go to seminary? Because they are taught by God. We go through a school, but it's not a traditional school. We go through the fire. We go through the trials. We get tested on every hand to get proven. And that's the best situation that can happen. Because we have to be totally dependent on God. If I'm holding a paper that says, I took this many classes, and now I'm qualified to go preach to everybody. That's kind of empty. Yeah, I put my time in. But what we want the anointing of God on our ministers. We want God to be able to work through them. We want God to be able to take them and use them in a way that he wants to use them. We want God to empower them with the ability to go beyond themselves. Go beyond the places that I'm uncomfortable in. Lord, I need your help to be a vessel to you. Amen. I need your help to exercise the gift that you have given me. What do you have need of? You know, when my wife and I got married, we had a child. Well, we saw our parents raise us. We had a pretty good idea. We know what to do. But let me tell you something. The Lord allowed some things to happen with that child that we knew we wasn't ready for, nor did we have any experience with. And those 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock shifts, because that baby's stomach is upset. Sacrifice sleep. Sit in the rocking chair. Rub the child's stomach and pray for him. Lord, how do we take care of this child? Having trouble raising children? What do you have need of? Yes. Having trouble in the home, issues in the home? What do you have need of? Yes. Is something on the job bothering you? You're struggling with it. What do you have need of? Yes. We have a God that's able to enrich and bless and give us wisdom of all things. Do you know what he did with the children of Israel? As they come out of the land of Egypt and was going to go into the land of Canaan, he said, I'm going to put my spirit in. And he taught them every single craft that they would need to be able to do what he had instructed them to do. Luke 9 and 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Do you have need of healing tonight? Is it physical? Is the need of healing that you have mental? Is it emotional? Is there healing that needs to take place somewhere in your family? God has it. We don't have to go around afflicted when we can be healed. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let me tell you something. What do you have need of? Do you have need of the Holy Ghost working in your life? It's available to you. The Lord wants to give you the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life. It will stabilize you. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. It will allow you to do what he wants you to do. It'll allow you to go through the hard trials. It'll allow you to stay on this straight and narrow path, even though there are many that are going away. What do you have need of? Do you have the Holy Ghost? You'll know it When the Holy Ghost comes into your heart to take up its abode, you know it. It is unmistakable. Yeah. It can't be duplicated. It can't be mimicked. It will do its job in your life. It will enrich you. It will give you so many blessings that I can't even express to you. I had a car one time. Never had this model. And something went out on it. And I finally figured out what it was. Now, I had never fixed this car before. I got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I have this car that I've never fixed before. Would you tell me how to fix it? Out on the side of the road, the Lord began to instruct me, and he set my eyes on the order. And I was able to fix the car. I didn't have all my tools that I normally use, but let me tell you something. I had the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost walked you through it. How many times in our life have we gone through situations and struggled through them and battled with it when all it would have taken was I asked, Lord, I need help here, and he could have worked it all out. It says, oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, look at this parable that Jesus said. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just people that don't need no repentance. What do you have need of? Do you need salvation? Do you know that when someone gets saved, heaven rejoices? Because they know they have found the greatest treasure that they could ever find. You know, people go through this life. They are searching for this. They're looking, oh, I want to gain this. I want to gain this. I want to accomplish this. But the most important thing that we can accomplish is a real relationship with God. Amen. What do you have need of? There's a warning given in Revelations, the third chapter. This has been in our Sunday school studies. Revelations 3:17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Each one of us is responsible for our own relationship with God. I cannot live for God under the umbrella of what my parents did or what my grandparents did or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I've got to get in touch with God for myself. What do you have need of? I read the scripture in Isaiah. I, the high and holy one, dwell. Let me get that. Our humility is key. That was Isaiah 57 and 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite one. What do you have need of? You need to be revived. This is not God's first time working with people in salvation. He has been working with people in salvation since the beginning of time. And he is very good at working with people. He can take us, just think about all of our different personalities in here. Our different levels of education, our different levels of understanding. There are those that grew up as a little bit of baby, little baby in the church, being taught Sunday school, Bible study, Bible school, church Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning. And they have a lot of knowledge. And then there are those who didn't get taught anything. They came out of the world, didn't have parents that taught them what truth was. And you know, sometimes the ones that come out of the world excel more than those that know the truth. What do you have need of? You know, we say we have faith in God. I believe that God can do this. I can believe he can do that. I believe there's nothing that's impossible to him. Matter of fact, the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. But what do we have need of? Has our faith taken hold and say, Lord, I'm realizing that I'm lacking something. That young rich ruler, he had kept all the commandments. But there was something that he knew was in his heart that falls short of excellence. And he came to Jesus and said, what lack I yet? I have to commend him for asking Jesus what he needed. A lot of times we fail to do that. We felt, Lord, what do I really need? I'm willing for you to show me what I need. David said, search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. And we have to be that honest with God. Amen. That kind of honesty and that kind of sincerity, the Lord will take that and he'll begin to show us it may not be a lot. Then again, it might mean we have to change something completely. What do we have need of? Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, we're going to start reading it at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Both the wise and the foolish, they both did the same thing. You and I, looking on this, we could look at them and say, you know what? They're all right. They seem from the eye test that they were all right. But the scripture said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. That means the wise ones did something that the foolish didn't. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. So what was their mistake? They didn't count on the bridegroom taking his time. And so they were ill-prepared when it was time to go, and their lamps had burned out. What do you have need of? What we don't want to do is we don't want to get to the end of our life. We'll be in the last, I'm going to put it this way, we're in the last year of our life and we run out of oil. We get 5 days from our meeting God and we run out of oil. What do you have need of? But the wise answer saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. Those that have worked and endeavored to follow God as close as they can, who know they have enough oil for the end, can't spare any for us that don't have enough. We've got to put in for that oil ourselves. What do you have need of? He said, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. God knows what you have need. You and I don't know what it's going to take for us in our last few miles of the way. We don't know what situation is going to arise that's going to give us a good shaking. You know, this COVID thing has caught a whole lot of Christians off guard. There were many thought, well, I'm doing okay. But God said, you know what? I'm going to allow what man has done. I'm going to rock the boat. And many people got caught without oil. We often don't comprehend what needs we truly have. What's on the horizon? What need do we have for the week ahead? What do you have need of for next week? Have you considered that? I can think I'm doing pretty good. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord is going to allow, especially when he's been working with us. He's been dealing. We've been hearing messages, and we've gone to this meeting and that meeting, and the Lord's been working with us, and we, you know that uneasy feeling. Something's just a little off. Something, I feel I'm just a little short. But we don't ask God, what do you have need of? We don't want to go through this life in vain. I've lived for God all these years and get up there, I'm laying on my deathbed and I give up. I don't want to go get to next week and the Lord sends maybe a hard trial that I didn't expect and I give up. It's too hard. You know, Jesus was over there, he had all these people following him and they were enjoying everything he's saying till he got to talking about, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. And it said, many turned away and followed him no more. And Jesus observed that and he turned to his disciples and he asked them, will you go away too? And he said, nay, Lord. You got the words to eternal life. This is not an easy road. You know, often hear people in the world say, Christians use God as a crutch. You know what? I found God to be the best crutch I have ever seen. Because you know what? I need the crutch of God in order for me to stay on the straight and narrow path. Otherwise, you know what? I'm going to go astray. It says man is a few days and full of trouble. It says it troubles Trouble happens as the sparks fly up. What do you have need of? I can believe that I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you something. The Lord knows how to send just the right thing to make me totally dependent on Him. And I realize, as well as I think I'm doing, I can't go this alone. We may find ourselves crawling into heaven. But you know what the scripture says? You press into it. That means that you have put some activity behind your desires and you have asked the Lord, Lord, check me out real good and see what I have need of. And then we are mature enough to stand there and listen to Him, to what He says. And sometimes we don't like what He says. Had a situation one time and I thought I was justified in what I said. Got down to the room, and God said, you shouldn't have said that. What'd I have to do? Go back to the person that I was interacting with? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. This is how God works with us. He knows what we have need of. And it's all in our hands to put in for it. If we leave this revival and God had a blessing ordained for us at the place of transaction and we leave without getting it, that's on us. So I ask you, what do you have need of? Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Pray for me.